I just saw something very interesting. I decided to look at the letters of Kiveiga again. There's a few letters that Kiveiga published. Recently, they printed out all the letters of Kiveiga. Some of them are related to the plague that. Some of them are related to the pandemic that took place then. I'm not sure of the details. It wasn't the Black Death of the Middle Ages. It wasn't the Spanish flu in 1918. So it's a different one. I'm not sure the details. 1820, 1821, it looks like. And it's very, very interesting. There's two letters that he writes. There's actually a few letters, but the first one, I probably got more out of reading them now than I did a half year ago. In the first letter, the immediate action that had to be taken. A lot of them are about hygiene, about social distancing, and about, it's very interesting. He speaks about lots of very interesting things that are also about respecting the rules and regulations. It's very, very interesting. Not being scared, not having phobias, and not getting overly anxious about the whole thing. It's incredible. This was a letter, you know.
Translated now.
He's absolutely 100 years old, but it's as relevant. Pardon? Yeah, it's not in Lashon HaKodesh. No, it doesn't look like it was a lockdown. But in the second letter, and that's what I found, it was very interesting. The letter is a few pages. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating letter. And it looks like the government asked for his support to put some rules and regulations in place. Also in terms of how many numbers in shul. So he doesn't want more than 15 people in shul. And the windows have got to be open and all people shouldn't come. It's very interesting. And the second letter, which was written a year later, which looks at the second stage of the pandemic. And there he writes about something else altogether. I mean, he writes about some of the points. Beginning with after, when he really goes to town, he said about there was, it looks like there was a, the borders closed. Very literally the borders closed. And a lot of people suffered financially because of that. So, you know, the merchandise, they were doing import and export and gather. And they couldn't, the financial implications of the economic and financial implications were enormous, it looks like. Actually, some of the letters just, you know, is an appeal for Tzedakah, because people are suffering so much. And what the heart of the letter really is about, that people should care for one another in terms of much more than about more than anything else. He just cares about the financial implications, you know. And what he writes that people should care financially. But the thought that it triggered to me, he doesn't actually spell it out, but the thought that it triggered to me, that really, we've got to think about this as well. You know, nowadays I'm just thinking about myself, and there's so many things one can get, but we have to remember that the Yiddish businesses are still out there, and there's a mitzvah seder reise. I just listened to a shit the last week about it. It was mitzvah seder reise of supporting Yiddish businesses, even if it's a little bit more expensive. And the thought that this Kiveiga triggered in me is that one should try to, you know, sometimes you have to think that far, that, you know, people out there are struggling with their business and their finances, and probably instead of thinking about, you know, sometimes we just have to stretch out a little bit in terms of where we buy and what we buy and things like that. So that was the thought I had reading Rebbe Kiveiga's letter, and I strongly recommend it. It's a fascinating read, really, really fascinating read. It's in Igor's Rebbe Kiveiga, fairly recently published. Okay, there's also another thing which is interesting there about a Khmer, which he speaks about. Okay, we are learning tonight Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Tes. We are learning Sif Yud Aleph. I plan, I hope, a Bli Neder. I would like to finish the Siman tonight. I had some thoughts about doing some online businesses relating on this Sif, but that's probably a little bit later. It's interesting how Loch of the Sif Yud Aleph, we'll see what we think about it when we get there. Okay, let's just get there. First Sif Yud Aleph, Rabbi Yisai. Moichei Peiros Ksus Vekelim. Okay, Sif Yud Aleph addresses. So I'm going to page Yud Aleph in our edition. Sim Tovkuf Lamentes Sif Yud Aleph. Moichei Peiros Ksus Vekelim. Somebody who sells Peiros. It's primarily talking about dry fruit. Ksus, garments, and kelim. Kelim means any clothing, garments, or equipment, instruments. What's the common point about those things? Dry fruit, garments, and equipment. What's the common point about it?
They're not going to go off.
So really, what the theme of this Shulchan Aruch is, non-perishable items that last for a long time. If that's your business. So moichei peiros ksus vekelim. Moichim betzin letzorich hamoed. Yes, you may sell. We learned in the earlier sif, if you're selling tomatoes and apples, you may sell throughout Chol HaMoed. We learned that. Okay, because that's something that's going to go off the Vavid. But now we're talking about if you're selling... yeah, what? Well, example, if you're selling... I don't know, you're selling shoes. If you're selling... what else? You're selling digital cameras. I don't know. If you're selling that, you're allowed to be open at Tzorich HaMoed, but you've got to do it betzina. It needs to be privately and quietly, not in the public domain. Ketzat, how do you do that? I think somebody mentioned it yesterday, last week. If your shop is open in the corner, if you open in a zavis, which means in a back corner, or in a mavui, which is like a semi-public area, that you can open normally, because that's not very public. You're like in the back corner of the area. He must have psuchal rishus rabim. However, if your shop opens to the public domain, poseach achas v'neil achas, you keep one door open and one door shut. What's the equivalent nowadays?
Three lights,
half open. You keep the lights, dim. Yeah. You open it. What? Back door open, yeah? I don't even know if you have to be the back door open. It could be even more than that. People that can know you are open, just don't make such a noise about it. Yeah, I like your comparison. Now, this is about the last day of Yom last day of Chol HaMoed specifically. So that's Erev Shmini Atzeres. Erev Yom Tov Achen Shel Chag. So the last day of Chol HaMoed, prior to... So for the moment, just the Shana Rabbah. Then you're allowed to open properly. It comes from Lashon Atorah, crown. You publicize, you publicly present, you display openly and publicly in the market your items, peperos, with all the fruit, in order to honor. And increasingly make a public the honor of Yom Tov. This is going to be in honor of Shmini Atzeres. We want Shmini Atzeres to be nice, bechavadik, respectful. So therefore, on the last day before Shmini Atzeres, you can open a shop. You want people to buy, and you want people to bring the honor and the covet of the Yom Tov. So yes, it is talking specifically about Shmini Atzeres. Mishtibur does bring... there is also with regards to Pesach as well, the same point possibly, although there is a bit of a difference between Shmini Atzeres and the last days of Pesach in terms of, what do you think? Shmini Atzeres, a bit more of a public, that's right, as well as that. He's not really talking about that, but you're right, there is an element of that, but also Shmini Atzeres is more of a, it's more of a open public kind of Yom Tov. Last days of Pesach, Achas of Pesach doesn't have that element of publicity. Shmini Atzeres, we celebrate together much more than last days of Pesach. You're right though about your svara as well. Okay, mutar liknos tzarich Yom Tov sheni shel Yom Tov Achas. Of course, you're allowed to buy and purchase anything you need for the last days of Yom Tov anyway. So again, Chol HaMoed, if you are Chol HaMoed shops are to be closed, semi-closed, that is, don't publicly sell your non-perishable items, but on Erev Yom Tov, certainly Shmini Atzeres, perhaps also Erev Pesach, Erev last day of Pesach, you're allowed to be open publicly and make a bit more of a fuss in honor of Yom Tov. With regards to what you need for Yom Tov, anyway, you're allowed to buy. Okay. Seif Yud Beis, top of page 22. You're not allowed to buy batim. Don't buy a house on Chol HaMoed. Ve'avonim, precious stones. Avodim, don't buy your slave. If you see a good cheap slave down there, don't buy him on Chol HaMoed. Ve'hema, even like animals. You see this very very nice bull. Don't buy him on Chol HaMoed. Edo letzorech HaMoed, only if you need him for Chol HaMoed. So if your mamash can't cope. Somebody's got to clean the floor and you just can't do it without that slave, fine. If you just can't do it without, then you can buy a slave. Similarly, also when you need to buy this animal because you need it for Yom Tov, so fine, you can buy it. But if it's for after Yom Tov, you may not purchase houses, precious items, and animals on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, so you're right. So that would be you're right. So that was discussed. You're right. If it's a once-off opportunity and deal that you're going to lose money otherwise, you're right, it would be permitted. Alternatively, there's one more heter which we haven't really discussed. And here it is. For letzerich hamoicha she'en lo mayoichal. Say this person is selling a slave because he's just made very bad business deals. He's lost all his money. And his last possession that he has is his slave. His good, reliable slave. He's got nothing else. And he needs that money for the sale of the slave. He needs that money for Yom Tov. Elo mayoichal, he's got nothing to eat. In such an instance, he may sell his slave. Because Eloi Mayoichal, he's got nothing to eat. In such a case, since he is allowed to sell the slave, I'm allowed to buy it. So Eloi Mayoichal is a heter, not only for the seller, but also for the buyer. If a person is selling a house because Cholili really has got nothing else to put on the table, you may buy it. Eloi Mayoichal. Since also the third party, the gentleman in between, if he is an agent and he is doing this business transaction of being an agent for a house, being an agent for selling a slave, being an agent for selling precious items, if he's doing this business transaction and the shidduch, because Eloi Mayoichal, he's got nothing to put on the table, he's got no financial security anymore, then in such he's allowed to work on Chol HaMoed, and consequently you're also allowed to buy from Chol HaMoed, which is very interesting, by the way, because just because he is in a financial crisis, he's allowed to sell. Why does that allow me to buy and make a business deal? Why? What? How does that work? Eloi Mayoichal. So, person, he's really got no money. He's allowed
Isn't
to sell.
Isn't it begedet tzedakah?
Pardon?
Isn't it begedet tzedakah? I'm doing him a chesed, a tzedakah for him. Because he was relying on that.
So explain. I think so let's explain that further. So why is it that I'm allowed to buy it? I understand he's allowed to sell it, but why am I allowed to buy it? I'm allowed to do business.
Giving tzedakah,
I think I understand what you mean. The point is that if I would not be allowed to buy it, then what would end up happening? If I would not be allowed to buy of somebody in my oichal, so what would happen then? He wouldn't be able to sell it. And then he still wouldn't be able to put bread on the table. Why? It's only bavadai. You can't assume somebody's that poor. It's a very extreme. I don't know if... why would you assume somebody's on such a... if that's the reality, that they wouldn't be selling otherwise... then you're probably right, but I don't think that's the reality, though. I don't think that's Metzius. I think a lot of people out there are selling items. Shaloi Beheta. Yeah, I think. Yeah, so I think you might be right. If you're talking about a case of something which may not be sold otherwise, and you know this person is an Elie Chayit, and the reason why is he selling his stock now for a good deal? Well, why is he selling it? So so perhaps you're allowed to buy that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. Because, yeah, maybe you have to assume. Yeah.
What if you know there's a guy that will buy it? If you don't buy it, a guy will buy it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. Yes, I suppose.
You're allowed to put a bid.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a really interesting. What do you think about that question, Abu Sa'id? Yeah, I suppose you're allowed to buy because. The rule is always going to be, that's the rule we're learning now. If he's allowed to sell, you're allowed to buy. So, since he's allowed to sell, you've got a heter to purchase. Even though he may be able to sell it to somebody else. But the heter with you remains. We still have got a heter to buy. Yeah. Interesting point. Okay. So he says this is only about something which is publicly known. Something which is only in private should still remain in private if it can be done. Okay, see if you'd give a halvo is any Yehudi beribis. Okay, this is now people who lend, moneylenders. Okay, Yidden for centuries, that's the only business they were allowed to do, to moneylenders. So if you lend money to a goy, we know this halacha, to a goy you're allowed to, if we get a goy you're allowed to charge ribes, interest from a goy. So now if you have that goy that tends to borrow money of you with ribes, you're allowed to do that business transaction on Chol HaMoed. So the goy comes knock on the door on Chol HaMoed and he says, you know, can you lend me £200? I'll give you back next week £210. Can you do that or not? So goy, a yid you can't, but goy. If you want to lend to a goy with ribes, if it's somebody that commonly comes to you, he comes to you every 2 weeks, he's a regular customer, he's that regular client that always comes to you and he borrows money of you, you're allowed to. Why? Why is it a avet? That's something we discussed previously. Why is it a avet? He's going to go somewhere else. He's going to find another...
Yeah, but, well, assuming that he lives in a place where everyone's showing the Shabbos and showing the mitzvahs, then who would he find? He might find
a goy.
No, if he can't, but they...
The goy might find another goy.
So you know what I'm thinking of back in the Middle Ages when...
Where the only Eden, right, I hear that, yeah. Yeah, right, maybe, yeah, I hear, yeah. Some she'enu regil milvois, gam ken muta. What happens if there's a new customer that knocks on the door? You never seen this guy before. He says, are you Jewish moneylender? He says, yeah, I am. Never seen him before. And he knocks on the door and says, can I please borrow some money of you? I'll pay you back next week, 10% interest. So in such an instance, I would have thought it's also, but I said it's mutter as well. Why? For those that I don't normally lend money to them. Kam ken mut, it's also permitted. Why? That if I take the interest of the first week, in our case it's £10. And I spend it, Very interesting letter. Yes, a new customer, don't throw him away. Don't just sell him. No, I'm not. Sorry, I don't. Don't. You're allowed to do business with him. You're going to make a profit. What's going to be your margin? £10, £30, £50, how much your margin is going to be? That amount of money for the first week, that you spend on Simchas Yom Tov. Take it, but spend it on Simchas Yom Tov. What's the rationale for that? Yeah, I tell you what, I'm struggling a bit with this concept, because is it mutter or not? If it's mutter, then it's mutter. Then spend it on your... It sounds like it's chatchila even. It's like chatchila mutter. Why? Like as if you say, you know, don't do it. If you do it, then give it to stock. It's like a kind of mentality I don't like. Don't steal of the... Don't do that dodgy business. If you do, then you know, give half to stock. I don't like that mentality. Have you heard that mentality? So here, I don't understand why is that different over here. Because we're saying, really, no, it's a ribis, it's a new customer. Do the deal, take the interest, and use that interest for Simchas Yom Tov. How do you feel about it? I think it's an interesting concept. Don't think we've come across it so often. Mutalikach arvus b'moed. You're allowed to be a guarantor on Chol HaMoed al alvos she'aseh ha'moed. You're allowed to search for a guarantor. Somebody knocks on the door and says, listen, I know you have quite a wealthy... I'm doing a business with somebody. I'm borrowing money of somebody. Would you be prepared to be a guarantor? You say, all right, listen, when is the transaction going to take place? After Yom. All right, if the transaction is going to be after Yom, I don't mind being a guarantor. So to seek a guarantor and to agree to be a guarantor, yeah, I can be on Chol HaMoed. Why is that? Why is that okay? It's not really a business, is it? Kind of agreement to be a guarantor, that's okay to take on. Now, Rabbi says, if you doubt it, I have a question. Halacha lemaisa, which I feel is very, 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 very relevant. See, if you doubt it, Rabbi says, as follows. Halvo de shulchonois. Now, shulchonois, halvo means shulchonois, bekvias, bechiluf, also. There's no other word to translate it than a bank. This is the bank. A bank who is making transaction. I just thought about it. It's called a shulchan, shulchani. What's a shulchani? Shulchan is somebody that does... Pardon? Money changer, yeah. So it's called shulchani because of the table, right? So it's a note that we call it a bank. And shulchan calls it a shulchani, a table. I wonder if there's a difference, a table and a bank. Here's a bank. Okay, it's for changing money and everything. Now, Why is it also? Says the Mishnah, have got Memzayin bottom line. To bechagam naver pakmati ledivrei akol. That's considered business. To go to the bank to change money, to do all the money transactions, financial transactions. That's all called pakmatia business, and that's also okay. Abayisai, stage number one. Is it mutar also to go to the bank on Chol HaMoed? You want to give in a check? Do you remember the checks? You're saying that it's not pakmati, it's permitted.
It's storage now.
Storage. Because they're not giving any interest, it's storage. You're allowed to do that. What about money changing? You've got too many, you want to change it into a different currency. You want to put money in your bonds, or you want to buy shares. Are you permitted to do that? Okay.
From big coins to small coins.
Okay, so you're saying, and nevertheless, it's also. You're right. That's clearly what we're talking about. You're 100% right. And nevertheless, it's also because it's got a business element to it. Rabbi said, the post can say you may not go to the bank on Chol HaMoed. Now, the only thing about the checks is that those of us who have lost checks in the past, and I'm included, one of those, and it's still hurting me, So there is an element. You could argue that depositing a check is. You could argue that it's mutter because it's. Tavavet. I agree. For those of us who have lost checks and intend to lose, could argue that depositing a check is tavavet. I think that's a strong argument. But if you're not that kind of person, and you're well, and you're not worried about it. So lichor, it's also to deposit a check, just as also to buy shares, to sell shares. All these things are really, in principle, also, and this is based on Zil Shulchan Aruch. Pardon? Draw money from a bank is also, unless you need it for Yom Tov. It's also. And this leads us to the following question, which I was in Chadish today. I was thinking about, I checked with a dayan in Eretz Yisrael, and he agreed to me. Those people who have online access to your bank accounts, and you want to pay a bill, an app, bank app, that's right. Or you want to pay a bill, on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that bill came now. The road tax came, or the one that you didn't put on direct debit, whatever. You want to just pay it now. At least it's paid and it's sorted. Would you be allowed to use the bank app or to go online and pay it on Chol HaMoed?
Could be an issue of
Simchas Yom. Do you know it's paid and it's sorted? Why is he going Abed Zohar?
Talks about whether you feel relief when you pay the loan back in connection with giving the goyim, letting them pay you back for their debts during.
I don't remember the Gemara, but it sounds like interesting, yeah?
It does bring up
that
one that says it makes you feel better.
Makes you feel better once you've paid your debts, you've paid your chayvus. I felt, learning this Mishnah, that it should be also to do that. You may not pay, if, of course, you get a fine. But if the deadline is, you can't wait until after Yom Tov because it's going to, you're going to have to pay interest. Then never mind, it's davar oved, of course you're allowed to pay, it's davar oved, you're losing money. But in a case that you could pay easily after Yom Tov, no problem at all, without any further fines and any additional fees, so then the halacha lechoy would be, it's called considered, just like you're not allowed to go to the bank. That's the same thing. You're not physically going to the bank, but that's really what you're doing. You're paying your bills. How about you say, I think it's awesome. And I did check with the dayan today, and I asked him, and he said, 100%, it's awesome. Besides all these Zoom, which are computer-related, and the whole shadows of screens and computers, never mind that aspect, which we're going to get to in Mitzvah at one point, besides that, yes, the fact of accessing your bank account and making bank transfers and paying up your bills, etc., if that doesn't cause depression, if that causes Simchas Yom Tov, yeah, then I suppose on those occasions it might be an argument that.
So you say it's like
I suppose, yeah, just checking the balance, I think that's probably okay. Yeah. I'd imagine. Because that's not doimelep, that's not have a pakmatya. Look at Mishnah Berurah. I'm coming from Mishnah Berurah. He says, also the chagavna have a pakmatya divrei hakol. It's pakmatya. He's talking about going to the shulchanos bekvias v'chilav also, the exchange of the money to go to the establishment and I'm making that, these transactions. That's what's also. And therefore, and I felt that it's not just in the physical sense, it's also in the online sense, in the digital sense, it's also going to the bank. But I would argue that just checking your balance, that's not really a pakmatya. Bishop says it's pakmatya, it's not a business really. I'd argue, what do you think? Yeah. I see, I think, anybody disagrees with me? That? Yeah, yeah. So that in such a case would be permitted because that would lead to davar oveid. If you're concerned about davar oveid and you want to act efficiently against the potential loss, of course you're allowed to. But if you know you've got those tens of thousands of pounds in there, you know, and so then of course then it would be then lechayru and you just want to, yeah.
Is there an element of like some people do a job they want to be paid straight away, a gardener, a plumber, so you're gonna push them off.
A yid or a goy. It makes a difference because if it's the yid, then you have to check why is he doing it. If he's doing it the heter, you're allowed to pay him. If he's not doing it, you have to check also, are you allowed to employ him on during those days? You've got to check. Depends what kind of business it is.
If it's a goy, it's okay, you're saying.
Depends what kind of, what were you referring to? Some melachos you're not allowed to leave him through a goy. Some melachos you wouldn't be allowed to leave him through a goy.
Invoices a person straight.
If you're just in.
And you need to pay, he usually gets paid straight away.
Yeah, but you probably have. Not sure, you've got 30 days to pay normally. You like to pay on time. You're a good person.
It's independent, it's not a company.
Yeah, you want to just... I don't know what to tell you. I think that is an argument to say that you're not allowed to. Habayi, so that's it for this evening. I wish you a very good evening. I will continue with Shem. Simon Tov Kuf Mem tomorrow evening. I wish you a very, very good evening indeed.